The epistle appointed for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and that in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness how I long after you all in the love of Jesus Christ, and this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny, and Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin this morning by telling you about a soldier, a saint, and confidence in Jesus Christ. The saint is Saint John Capistran. The soldier is a Hungarian nobleman named János Hunyadi. And our story takes us back to May 29th in the year 1453. For it was on that day, after 55 consecutive days of battle, that the Islamic Turks, at the command of the Sultan Mohammed II, took the city of Constantinople. And the last Byzantine emperor, Constantine the 11th, died fighting beneath the walls, but not before he had renounced Greek orthodoxy and had professed the one true Catholic faith. But I mention this because the victory stirred Mohammed II to turn his eyes towards Eastern Europe, in particular the nation of Hungary, to begin his whole conquest of Catholicism and the West. The first great Catholic city and stronghold in his path, however, was the city of Belgrade. Belgrade is an ancient city. Today we know it as the capital city of Serbia. Mohammed II moved his powerful army from Constantinople to Belgrade, and in July of 1456, he arrived with 160,000 soldiers and 300 pieces of artillery, the very artillery that he had taken from the walls of Constantinople. Belgrade was defended by only 6,000 men, a number of whom were farmers armed only with pitchforks and garden hose. But at the head of this relatively small army was János Hunyadi, a devout and pious Catholic and most courageous captain. Many Catholic people are not familiar with this Battle of Belgrade of 1456, a battle which is equal to the glory of Lepanto and Vienna. But in the midst of all of them, that day in Belgrade, there was, as one author wrote, an angel of the Lord, John Capistran, a 70-year-old Franciscan priest and saint. Moments before the battle began, standing on the walls, this noble son of Saint Francis held a crucifix high above the air over the heads of Hunyadi and his men, and he encouraged them in so many words to fight bravely, but even more, to have confidence in Christ, for victory would surely be theirs. The battle began as the Turks mercilessly hammered the great walls of the city with cannon fire. In no time did they breach the walls with their superior weapons. And through the dense smoke and roaring flames, the Turkish soldiers poured into the city. But as they did, they were met by a fierce defense as the Catholic soldiers poured down upon them like a rainstorm. Their ranks were thus broken, and the Turks actually began to panic. In their fear, they retreated through the great opening in the wall. And as they did, Janusz Hunyadi was commanding the cavalry. He ordered the wall to be repaired immediately. But amidst all the excitement, his order was not heard. For as the Turks were fleeing out of the city, thousands of Catholic soldiers were pursuing them. And when Hunyadi saw them pouring out of the city, and among them in particular, he saw St. John Capistran himself, the 70-year-old friar, in the thick of the battle, not holding a sword, but holding a crucifix. Hunyadi then gave the order for the cavalry to charge. A certain historian wrote of this, like a fantastic thunderbolt of summer lightning, Janusz Hunyadi and his cavalry raced into the fray, shouting their war cries as they rumbled through the ruined walls of Belgrade, and lashed their mounts mercilessly as they burst upon the Turks, their charge making nothing of any resistance. The battle ended that night when the Turks completely fled the field. One historian notes that even the proud Sultan Mohammed II himself lay wounded. 50,000 Turks lay dead, all 300 pieces of artillery that were taken by the Turks at Constantinople were taken by Hunyadi and the Catholic soldiers of Belgrade. Janusz Hunyadi, who came to be called the Hammer of the Turks, did not live long after this battle. He actually died 3 weeks later, a victim of the plague. It is recorded that when Mohammed II heard of Hunyadi's untimely death, he said to his generals, "Although that man was my enemy, I feel grief at his death, because the world has never seen such a soldier." But confidence in Christ and an undaunted, persevering courage saved the day. The confidence, my dear friends, which St. John Capistran encouraged Janusz Hunyadi and his soldiers to have, is reflected, so to speak, in the words of St. Paul today. The apostle tells us in the epistle to be confident in Christ Jesus, because he who has begun a good work in us will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And by these words, my dear people, the apostle means that our Lord will bring the work of our eternal salvation to a successful completion. Just as it were, he brought the Battle of Belgrade to a successful completion. As the thousands of Catholic soldiers fought bravely and with great confidence in Christ. For like Janusz Hunyadi and those brave soldiers, we too, my dear friends, are engaged in a great battle. All of us here today are engaged in a great battle. And the battle I am not talking about is the battle to save our country or to save our world. The battle I am talking about is the battle to save our immortal souls for all eternity. Today, unfortunately, many, many unfortunate events, to say the least, are going on in our nation. Many difficulties have arisen. But still, my dear people, in the midst of all of this, we cannot get lost and forget that the one battle that really matters when all is said and done is that battle to save our immortal soul. And as Janusz Hunyadi and the soldiers at Belgrade faced a powerful enemy bent on the conquest of Belgrade and eventually of all Christendom, so we too face powerful enemies who are bent on our destruction and eternal ruin. The devil and his allies in the world and our own fallen human nature are at war with us. For the devil is real, my dear friends. He truly exists. And since his expulsion from the presence of God, he is bent on man's destruction. He seeks to drag as many souls to hell as he can. And this only because he envies us and he hates us. He envies us and he hates us because we can attain eternal happiness while he is doomed to eternal misery. And in addition, the devil knows that his time is short. He knows it's limited. He knows that sooner than later he will be cast into the pit of hell, never again to emerge to tempt another soul. And thus he goes about, as St. Peter says, seeking whom he may devour. He is our most formidable enemy. In and of ourselves, we are powerless against him. And with the help, so to speak, of the world and our own pride and inordinate passions, the devil is ever seeking to bring about the conquest of our soul by sin and then damnation in hell. And you know the most powerful weapon that he wields against us in this war for our salvation is temptation. How he cleverly uses this and very often can wreak havoc in our hearts and in our homes. For how often people are tempted to impatience, tempted to complain, tempted to resent the trials, the crosses, and the tribulations of life, which really are a blessing from God, as they are given to us as a share in the cross of Christ. How often people are tempted to uncharitableness towards others, especially with those within their own home and family. How many are the quarrels and arguments or the fights over trifling and silly things? Some people are tempted to critical thoughts. Some are even tempted to hold hatred in their hearts for others. Some are tempted to anger or tempted to unjustly get back at someone in some way. And today, when the spirit of the world is nobody can tell you what to do, how often are the sons and daughters tempted to disrespect their parents? And hence, how often in homes today we find a spirit of disobedience and disrespect. Even as so many people in the world, so many parents in the world are trying harder to be friends with their children than to be their parents. And how many, St. Alphonsus de Liguori tells us, are tempted to sins of impurity. And in this temptation, as the saint himself tells us, the devil is, for the most part, very successful. Then there are those temptations to find one's happiness in the material things of this world, as if one can be perfectly happy here. To some Catholics, the devil even tempts against faith and seeks to strew doubts in their minds. Many others he tempts to sadness and discouragement. But no matter what the temptation may be, my dear people, we must fight bravely, and we must fight with confidence in Christ. Just as Janos Hunyadi and the soldiers of Belgrade fought bravely and trusted their victory to Christ. In all our temptations and sorrows, we too must turn to Christ. We must make acts of confidence in Him, even as we strive to resist the enemies of our salvation by prayer, by frequent confession and Holy Communion, by the practice of virtue, especially charity, patience, and purity, and by a constant and daily devotion to our Most Blessed Mother. In the midst of our daily battles, then, with temptations of whatever kind, we must, my dear friends, have great confidence in Christ, our divine Savior and King. Never forget that our Lord is not out to get us. He is out to save us. And if we trust Him, if we persevere in our efforts to love Him and turn from temptation, He will deliver us from the enemies of our salvation. Just as I am confident He delivered the city of Belgrade from the conquest of its enemies, in a battle which, naturally speaking, the Catholics should have lost. As St. Paul teaches us today, God has begun in us the work of salvation by the infusion of sanctifying grace, and He will complete it, but we must trust Him. Contrary to what some people may think, our eternal salvation does not depend upon us entirely. Oh, yes, we must cooperate with God's grace. We must persevere. That is true. But we cannot save ourselves. Of ourselves, we really cannot do anything. We cannot even persevere by ourselves. We can do nothing without Christ, because He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. We are not the Savior. Only Christ is the Savior. And let us then, my dear friends, have the utmost confidence in him. Let us trust him. Let us confide in his love, his mercy, and his goodness. Even as we are ever mindful of these words of St. Alphonsus de Liguori, this great saint once wrote, "There is not in the world any sinner, however revolting or wicked, who is despised or rejected by Mary. For she can, and she wills, and she knows how to reconcile that sinner to her most beloved Son, if only he will seek her assistance." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.